I'm going to share with you this morning a message that may be a little unusual. I'm a little unusual anyways, but and sometimes the truth is unusual to the usual mind, to the natural understanding, to the natural man. The things of the Spirit are not comprehended. And so it is the Holy Spirit of God that reveals the truth to us. He will teach us. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit will be the teacher today and that I'll simply be the vessel. And Lord, I'm asking you to speak through me today. I'm asking you to reach through me today and touch through me today. Every heart in this place, Lord, give us revelation knowledge of the truth. Because you said if we know the truth would set us free. And it will deliver us, Lord, from bondage. God wants everyone on the planet to be set free by the power of God. Amen. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is one way, there is one truth, and one life. And Jesus says, I am that way. And he said, John 14:6, that no man, no one comes to the Father but by me. He says, I am the only way to God. Now, either he was speaking the truth or he was lying. How many know that God confirmed his word through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? Amen. Death could not hold him in the grave. He is risen. Why? Because he was the only sinless one that ever walked this planet. He fulfilled all righteousness. Where we had fallen short, Jesus lived up to that standard and became a faithful high priest, and he became our sacrifice. For me, he died. He died in our place. It was a substitutionary death. Because we could not save ourselves. No amount of meditation, of chanting, of positive thinking is going to save you. The only hope we have is to turn to the only one who can save, and that is Jesus Christ. God is trying to deliver his people, to set us free from our own works, to cease from our own efforts to live good enough, to be good enough, to live up to the standard of perfection that God requires. You and I have all sinned, all fallen short of God's glory. There is only one way to the Father, and that is through the door. And that door has been identified as Jesus Christ. He says, I am the door. Through me, if anyone enters in, he shall find pasture. We can come into the fold of God through the door, who is Jesus, who is the shepherd of the sheep. He opens the door. He allows or disallows. There's none of us here that are going to go to heaven by our own merits. We can only come through him who is the door, that is Jesus. Now, some of you are saying, well, that's pretty basic knowledge. I knew that. That didn't sound like any great revelation. Now, let me change gears here a little bit. I want to throw something at you, just some food for thought today. Did you know that the devil wants to meet your needs just like the Lord? Oh, you knew that already. The devil wants to be the one to meet your needs. And we have to be very careful that we are not listening to the wrong voice when it comes to having our needs met. How many know that when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he was tempting him with needs? Especially when it came to bread and having hungered for 40 days. Well, would it be wrong to turn the stones into bread if you're hungry? You're going to starve to death if you don't eat. The problem was, it was the wrong source of help. Now, we are most vulnerable, hear me, when we are in need. When we have an unmet need, that is the area of your greatest vulnerability to the deception of Satan to try to come in and fill that need with himself. Even to the degree where he will impersonate God and try to get you to believe that God is the one providing for that need when it could actually be him. Have you ever thought about that? Do you think that every good opportunity that's given to us, every good door that opens up, is always going to be God? You see, sometimes we don't even ask about it. We don't even seek God. We just see an opportunity, an open door. We say, well, it's a great opportunity. It has to be God because it's good. How many know that everything that is good is not necessarily right? There's a difference between good and right. There are a lot of good things that may not be right if those good things come from the wrong source. Okay, so far? Genesis 3, verse 4. Here's Satan tempting Eve to attempt to fill a need that really didn't even exist. He convinced Eve that she was in need of something that she really wasn't in need of. He tried to get her to listen to him, to believe that she had a need that wasn't really a need after all. Are you hearing me? When we become needy and we get desperate, we're vulnerable to the tempter. And so we have to be very careful that we listen to the instructions of God, listen to His Word, listen to the last voice that spoke to us. Amen. The last time God spoke to us, we need to stand on that Word and don't do anything until God gives you the next direction. Do not become impatient on waiting on God. God's timing is always perfect. We blow it when we get ahead of God. And the serpent said in chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 4, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise. So by all indications, it was something good. By all natural appearance, it was something desirable. Hello? She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave her husband with her, and he ate. Now, Adam was just as guilty, amen, because he obeyed Eve. He was put in charge. Where was he? And so they took of the fruit together, and the next thing they know, yes, their eyes were opened, and then they knew that they had lost the glory that covered them. And they knew they were naked. It was not a natural nakedness. It was a spiritual nakedness. They had lost the glory of God. They had lost the covering of God. The righteousness of God. And so he basically told Eve, look what you're missing out on. If God was really good, He wouldn't hold anything back from you. Isn't that what happens today? To so many of us, when we were growing up, so many young people today are believing the lie that somehow these good things are being withheld from me. God's not reasonable. God's not good. Why would He withhold these good things from me? So we decide, as Adam and Eve did, to do our own thing. It's called sin. And the wages of sin is, the fact is, Eve already had everything. Folks, they were in paradise. They had everything that they could ever want and dream and imagine. It was beyond what we can even comprehend. The garden was a place of perfection. They were in innocence. It was a beautiful place. All the trees they could eat of, except for one. How many know that love is a choice? And love has to be tested. And there was a test of that love. Only one thing they couldn't have, and that was the thing that the enemy went after. To make them believe that somehow they were missing out. You see, a salesman seeks to locate an unmet need and fill it with a product that he's selling. A salesman, a good salesman, will get you to buy something that you don't really need. Ever do that? They'll try to convince you, and they look for places of vulnerability in you and I, where maybe there is an unmet need. Isn't it true that many people, they buy just because it's a way of trying to cover up a wound? You know, they get into this thing of just the consumerism, and also because, again, the enemy has set it up so that we feel like somehow I'm missing out. Unless I look like so-and-so, unless I have the life that so-and-so has, I'm missing out. And so the devil props up his people. He gives them a counterfeit blessing, a temporary blessing, with the intent of eventually dragging them down to hell. And then he sets it up in the eyes of everybody as an idol and something to be coveted, something that you would desire and you would want to have or want to be. And he dupes the population to thinking that Hollywood somehow is what we need to emulate, that we need to be like those people. We need to dress like them, sing like them, talk like them, walk like them. I want to be like them, as if somehow I'm being shortchanged. Do you understand that in Christ Jesus, we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of His dear Son? We are no longer citizens of this world, but citizens of heaven. And all things belong to God, and we belong to God. Therefore, all things belong to us. Why would we covet the inferior or lesser things of this world as if somehow that's going to satisfy us when we have all the delights of heaven available to us in the Spirit? If your heart is in right place with God, you will find your delight is on things above and not things below. And you don't have to compare yourself to anybody else. You can find contentment wherever you are in life. In whatever situation you find yourself in, you can find contentment there in Jesus Christ. Because contentment is never going to be found, amen, at the store. It's not going to be found at your favorite restaurant. It's not going to be found by your favorite celebrity or rock star or whoever else you want to worship on earth. You're not going to find contentment there. Amen. You're not even going to find contentment on vacation. You're not going to find contentment. I'm sorry to say this, folks, but at Disneyland. You're just going to come back broke, busted, and disgusted, right? And to have to take an aspirin. No, I'm not saying Disneyland is evil. I'm saying that we have to be very careful, though. What we are pursuing, what we are prioritizing in life, what is the most valuable thing of all? What you value will determine how you live your life. What you value will determine how you live your life. See, the devil convinced Eve, even though she was completely taken care of, he convinced her that she wasn't. So she was pursuing something that was evil, thinking that it was something good. And, of course, she was listening to the wrong voice. Now, 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How many things? All things. What about this? Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in Him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Folks, if you don't find your contentment in Christ, you will never find contentment in this world. Nothing will ever satisfy you in this world. It doesn't matter how much education, how much money, how much notoriety, how much fame we have. If you don't have Christ, you have absolutely zero at the end of the day. As a matter of fact, there are some people who are poor in this world, but they're going to be extremely rich in that world. These verses teach us, folks, that the believer already has everything they need. We already have it. See, sometimes we're seeking things that we already possess. We're searching for something that we already have. You know, isn't it interesting that the very one who comes to steal and to destroy is the one who tries to convince us that God isn't good? So he steals, he destroys, he hurts, he maims, you know, and then he turns it around and says it's God's fault. Have you ever heard that voice before? People are mad at God, and yet they should be mad at the devil. And we should get mad at ourselves once in a while too, amen, because we listen to the devil. It's all right to get angry. I get angry at myself. It's good. It keeps me in check. Sometimes I have to call myself little names like Knucklehead. Why did you do that? Charles Spurgeon said this, "In Christ, we are complete without the aid of Jewish ceremony." He says, "We're complete without the aid of philosophy." We don't need Jesus and philosophy. Amen? We're complete without superstition. And we're complete without human merit. My value is not based upon what I do. But my value is determined by my identity, who I am in Christ. I am a son. Amen? I'm not a slave. I am a son of God through Jesus Christ, through the new birth. And so my identity is a son. And I am to live out of that reality, that truth. And not as something to be attained, but something that in the sense that I already am, but my mind has to be renewed. My mind has to learn of my identity. Amen? Romans 12, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Find out what pleases the Lord. Find out who you are. Find out what the truth is. See, your mind is the part that has to be dealt with. Amen? You can have Christ in you, but your mind can be reprobate. Your mind can be messed up from the thinking that of the old man. You know what I'm talking about? When we first come to Jesus, we still got a lot of baggage. There's still a lot of stuff there. And so I have to, through the revelation of what God says of the truth, have my mind renewed so that I begin to think God's thoughts. And when something comes up that doesn't agree with what is true, I say, wait a minute, that is illegal thinking. I'm renewed in my mind. But if I don't know what the truth is, if my mind's not renewed, then I continue to live in deception, even as a believer. Do you think it's important that we be in the Word? Is it important that we know what's in this book? Because the truth will set you free, and it'll keep you free. You don't have to listen to the lies of the devil if you know their lies. But if you don't know their lies, you'll continue to believe the lie, and that lie can become your truth. That's called deception. See, Hollywood, once again, it tries to create an illusion of what it means to be important, of what it means to be valuable or successful. And so it seeks to paint a picture that your life is somehow, listen, inferior to that of others. I wish I was like that. I wish I had her hair, her face, her eyes, her whatever. You know? I wish I didn't have this. I wish I had that instead. It's constantly, the devil's trying to get you into a place where you are discontented in yourself. I don't like me. Well, you know what? If you didn't like you, you wouldn't be upset about you. Think about it. If you didn't like you, you wouldn't be upset about you. I hate myself. No, that's a myth. You love yourself too much. Otherwise, you wouldn't be upset. A dead man says that, bit, no big deal. You can think what you want. You can say what you want. I know who I am and my identity in Christ, and that's what matters. What my Father says is what matters. What God says about me is what matters, not what people. I can't live my life any longer for everybody else. I got to live for God. And Papa loves me. He validates me. He calls me son. I don't have to seek out somebody else to tell me that. I'm important. God says I'm important. You are important to God. So important that He gave His Son for you. So valuable that Jesus died for you. That's how valuable you are to God. That's how precious you are to Him. You don't redeem something that's worthless. He paid the highest price for us because we are valuable to Him. And He wants to save us from ourselves. Save us from our sins. How many people live their lives around the message of Hollywood, folks? How many people live their lives around the message of the sports? There's nothing wrong with the sports, but it becomes an idol when that's more important to us than God and the kingdom. And some people, they can tell you all the sports scores and who's winning who and who's playing who, but they can't tell you what John 3:16 is all about. Are you hearing me? There's a problem, folks, and many people, even in the church, are already duped into bowing down to Lucifer, and they don't even know that they're doing it. Think about it. See, the devil's way is to get us to worship him. That's what he's seeking. He's seeking worship. And he wants us to do it without realizing we're even doing it, because he's constantly trying to rub everything in God's face. Do you hear me? He's constantly trying to get back at God. And you know how he gets back at God? By hurting you and I. By getting you and I to listen to him, then he can get back at God. Amen? Because he can't touch God. But he can touch us if we let him. If we let him. By listening to his voice. I want to tell you, folks, most of what you're hearing in the news, what you're seeing on CNN and Fox even, is a lie. It's deception. They are telling you how to think and what to believe and what to occupy yourself with, sports and video games that take hours and hours and hours and waste your life away in this little delusional world that has nothing to do with eternity. And while we're preoccupied with things that mean zero in light of eternity, the devil is laughing because he's robbing from you. Instead of seeking God, we're seeking the world and the things of the world. Star Search. I watch some of these shows. I like watching talent. Don't get me wrong. But if you think about it, the message of Star Search is you must be a star in order to be somebody. You must be a singer or a dancer or have some special talent in order to be somebody. The same thing is true in sports. How many young people have spent all their time just learning how to play basketball, for example? They're putting all their eggs in that basket when only a very few ever get into that. Amen? Because they think that if I'm going to be somebody or if I'm going to be special or important, I've got to be a basketball or a football or a baseball star. Are you hearing me? And the devil has got us chasing after wind and sand. He's got us distracted doing these things, and while he's robbing us from our eternal inheritance. Living for God, living for Jesus Christ, amen, bearing fruit unto eternal life, winning souls, building up the church of Jesus, amen. That's what we're to be about. God saved me out. God saved me out of that culture, of the world and the drugs and all that stuff. And God saved me and He gave me a purpose that now I will serve Him for the rest of my life, for the rest of my days. I'm going to serve my God. Amen. Somebody say amen in this place. See, the devil tempted Jesus to receive instruction and help from the wrong source. He was tempted with good things. In Matthew 4:8, again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. How could the devil do that? How could the devil show Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in their glory? And how could he even say this? He says, all these things in verse 9 I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Huh? Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Son of God and the Son of Man. Hello? How could the devil say, Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms? How could the devil do that? Number one, hear me. Because when Adam disobeyed God and listened to Lucifer, Lucifer usurped the authority Adam possessed, and he became the little g god of this world. He is actually the god of this present age in this realm. Hear me. Number two, because the kingdoms of this world are in the hands of the devil at present. At present, but not forever. As a matter of fact, you and I play a part and calling in and ushering in God's kingdom. That's why we are to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has given authority to his church to destroy all the works of the devil. Amen? Amen. To trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy. He's given us the authority to do this. What are we doing with the authority we've been given as his representatives, as his ambassadors? Are we making a difference in our families? Are we making a difference in the place that we work? Are we making a difference in this world? Or are we caught up in what the world is esteeming and the world is chasing after? Are we preoccupied with these lesser, inferior things? Or are we living for the superior reality, which is the kingdom of God? Good question to ask ourselves. Unfortunately, many have taken the bait of Satan already. And just like Esau, who sold his birthright for a bowl of porridge, a lentil stew, many people are selling out to Satan. Even Christians are selling their birthright for the love, for the present love of this world. Does that make sense to anybody here? Do you see it? The temporary pleasures of this world. And folks, let me just say, if our hearts are in this world, we've got to get them out of it. We've got to come out of Egypt. We've got to come out of the world. Why? Because we're being robbed. You see, some people, they've sold out to Satan. And they've received the good things that he gives them, not realizing that it's going to cost them an eternity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light, and they will not come into the light lest their deeds be exposed, or lest they be seen. But the light of Christ is shining in our hearts, and the only thing we can do is say mercy. God, be merciful to me. God, forgive me. I know I've sinned. I know I've fallen short, but I'm asking you to forgive me. Jesus, I believe you died for me on that cross. You shed your blood for me on that cross. And Lord, I come to you asking for mercy and for pardon. And do you know what the Lord says? He says, you're forgiven. He says, you're forgiven. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. In the New Living Translation, it says, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. We know that we are of God, 1 John 5:19, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. It says, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. How much of the world? The entire world. So if we love the world and we love the world system and the way things are and the things that are esteemed among men, folks, we are living in an abomination towards God. Because this world is going to be redeemed. Amen. Jesus Christ is going to come and he's going to set up his rule, his authority. The Bible says that he shall, amen, descend upon the Mount of Olives. He will come again in clouds of glory and every eye will see him. And he will establish his reign. He shall reign over all the earth. Hallelujah. He's going to put down all rule and authority, and He shall reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen? This time He's not coming to be spat upon, to be crucified on a cross. He's coming as reigning King. Amen? And I want to be ready. To the believer, Philippians 3:20, it says, our citizenship is in heaven. King James says, our conversation. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When He comes, He will fully establish His rule on the earth. Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. So what is Satan trying to accomplish with us? Number one, he wants us to barter our spiritual birthright for the passing glory of this world. He wants you to love the world. He wants you to get bogged down into the temporary things and the things that are esteemed of men in this world. He wants you to put your focus on that. And number two, he wants you to worship the creature rather than the Creator. Think about it. All idolatry has to do with worshiping that which is made. That's why people fashion idols and they bow down to them. They're fashioning either something that is in the invisible realm that they were given by vision, or something that already exists, and they'll fashion it and they'll bow down. And the reason why people do bow down to idols, folks, is because whenever there's false or counterfeit worship, whenever anything is placed before the true and living God, the demon will go inside that idol. And he will do things for them, making them think that he's actually doing them good, when in reality, he's actually cursing their life. See, that's what Satan does. He tells you he's doing you good, and he'll do good things for you, but he requires much more in return. He wants your soul, and he wants you to worship him. Therefore, he can get you to blaspheme God. Wow. Folks, I don't care. It's not just somebody fashioning something. How about people's vehicles? I mean, some people worship their stuff. Amen? How about in America? It's the God of commercialism. It's the God of materialism. You got to have more stuff. It's all about the stuff. Are you keeping up with, well, the Joneses. Sorry, Joneses. Do you have as much as they have? Do you have a nicer house than they do? Oh, do you have a better stereo than he does? Do you drive a nicer car than him? Doesn't everybody want to have the best? Doesn't everybody want to be king of the pile and on top of it? And finally you get up there and you say, wow, I finally arrived. Now what? What's next? There's no U-Hauls going to heaven. You're not taking anything with you. The only thing you're going to take with you is that which you've done according to the will of God. That which you have done unto Christ in obedience to His voice. Those are the things that will last forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Amen? And all flesh is like the flower of the grass of the field. It's here and gone, quickly gone. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Jesus said, he who does the will of my Father abides forever. Who? He who does the will of my Father abides forever. John says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Folks, if our affections are on temporary things, if our pursuit in this world is just the things of this world, of this temporary life, it means that our hearts are not right with God and that the love of God is not in control of our hearts. Are you hearing me? That's very clear from Scripture. So I need to say, Lord, examine me. Lord, turn the light on. God, if it's not right between you and I want to know that it's right between you and I. Amen? I don't want to be an idolater. I don't want to bow down to any other gods. I want to worship the true living God. Amen? And only He possesses eternal life. He's trying to get us to worship the creation rather than the Creator. You know, I've shared this with you before, but I had a satanic priest one time come in. And I asked him, I said, why would you worship the creation rather than the Creator? He couldn't answer that. See, to some of them, he's convinced them that Lucifer is God. He's flipped that around. Lucifer wants to be God, so he's trying to get people to worship him. And he uses all kinds of tricky means of doing this. But people worship Lucifer sometimes because they believe he's God, but also they don't. They're just worshiping the stuff. They're worshiping their creation, something that they can touch and feel. But I asked him that. I said, why would you worship a created cherubim that fell rather than worshiping the true God of heaven? Come on, you got to go higher, amen? And to Reverend Moon and his followers, we got to go higher than the moon. We got to go to the sun, amen? The Son of God, Jesus Christ. See, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to worship the creation rather than the Creator. Because in doing so, he knows he's robbed God from the worship that he's worthy. What about King Saul? He became impatient. He became fearful. The enemies were coming against him, the Philistines. And so he quickly, he went and inquired of the Lord. And he got no answer from God. And he became panicked. And he made the huge mistake of going to a witch. And he went to the witch of Endor. And let me just interject this today, folks. If any of you have gone to psychics or to witches and consulted them for help, you need to get prayer. Because they put a curse on you without you even knowing it. You need to get prayer for that. These people, these psychics, watch out for them. Why? Because their source is not the living God. They're operating in a spirit of divination. It's a demonic spirit. And anytime you start consulting the enemy, it's idolatry. And you open yourself up and make yourself vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. And that's why some people are struggling throughout their life with all kinds of problems, maybe health problems even, because they went to someone else other than the Lord himself. And they consulted a wizard or a medium or a witch. And as a result of Saul, who had been anointed of the Lord, who had begun well to follow the Lord, he tries to take a shortcut. Everybody say shortcut. Shortcut. Avoid shortcuts. No shortcuts. And he went to the witch, and as a result, he lost his kingdom and his life. God's not playing with this, folks. Why? God loves us too much. And he knows that what we do can also influence others. So we got to be very careful what we do. So it's the areas of our unmet needs where he tries to make you feel like there's a deficiency, there's a lack, there's something. How about this? Why not let God, who has it all, owns it all, let him fill that need? Let him fill your life with all of his goodness. Amen. Don't go for shortcuts. Don't go for counterfeits. Don't go for the stuff the world is dishing out, trying to get you to believe. Whatever you do, don't go and get hypnotized. Don't ever allow anybody to have control of your mind. Come on, they got this stuff they're pumping now. Oh, you just get hypnotized and you'll quit smoking, you quit doing. How many know that God is not weak? God is able to do it. God is able to deliver you. Come to the living God. Amen. Stay away from that devil. Only God can satisfy you. Only God can bring contentment. Only God can fill the deepest longings of your heart. I have searched and tried in this world to find contentment, to find happiness, to find a purpose and a meaning. Why am I here? What's it all about? Is it what they say it is in Hollywood? Is it what they say it is on the news? Or is there something greater? Is there something higher than that? And I've discovered that my purpose was to live with God, to walk with God, to be a child of God, to serve the living God. That is my purpose in this world. That is your purpose. Don't let the world dictate to you and tell you what your purpose is. Amen. Let the Word of God tell you what your purpose is. Amen. And when you discover your purpose, you're not going to fall for the lies and for the traps of the enemy that are there just to pull you away from God so that you're worshiping Lucifer. It's in the area of unmet needs where we're most vulnerable. Give all your unmet needs to God and let Him fill you up. Psalms 36:7 says this. I'm finished with this. He said, "How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house." How many have found an abundance in Him? How many have found satisfaction in Him? How many have found the greatest joy and pleasure in Christ? He says they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. There is no pleasure higher than the pleasure of the Lord. Don't go for the inferior stuff. Don't drink the inferior stuff. Amen. Drink the new wine. Drink of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with God. Rejoice yourself in Him. Amen. Let Him meet every need. Let Him fill your life. Let Him fill the emptiness and the voids that are in your heart. Only God can satisfy. You don't need to pursue relationships. Pursue God and let Him fill your life. And then He will direct you into the right relationship. I don't know how many times I've seen young people pursuing relationships. They're Christian young people, but they're not pursuing God and the will of God first. They're pursuing the relationship, and they keep going from relationship to relationship until they realize that you're not going to find contentment in any person. You're only going to find contentment in Him, in Christ alone. Only He will satisfy you. And when He becomes your husband, when He becomes the satisfier of your soul, when He becomes your delight, then God will bring earthly relationships into alignment, into agreement, amen, with heaven. And you'll have a match made in heaven. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. And verse 9 says, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." All that I need. Find your peace in Him. Find your delight in Him. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Because you'll find His will become your desire. And only God can bring you the true joy. He will allow you to drink from the river of His pleasure. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for giving us access to you, Lord. May the Lord bless each one of you, keep you, cause His face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Peace of the Lord be with each one of you. Amen.